You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, the first time for 2019. We'll review the Jazz loss to the Raptors, look a little bit back at the win over the Knicks, some shot clock distribution things that make the Jazz unique and strange, and an update on where the rest of the NBA is, because you've been too busy for that. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing great. Thanks so much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, and geeky numbers. If you got one of those smart speakers for Christmas, it means that you can tell that smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. You can do the same with Locked On NBA and get all your Locked On podcasts via that smart speaker. Hope you're doing great. We'll talk about the game last night, run through some thoughts on something I don't like a lot about our offense, and then try to update you on kind of where everybody is in the league, who's playing well, who's not, because you've been busy with family. Hope you rang in the new year in style. I did it, and little did I know that this was an NBA phenomenon. It's kind of gross, but so I did not go out in Toronto on New Year's Eve, and the team had a nice little dinner for us, and I went back up to my room, and I watched the ball drop, and then I never turn the TV on in my room. I usually listen to podcasts or watching games, but I never have the TV on. And so I had the TV on, and I started doing the channel scroll, which is part of the reason I never watch TV is because it never turns off. You don't sleep as well, all that kind of stuff. So I start the channel scroll, and I get to TLC. And I get to a show, it's so gross. Many of you evidently are going to know exactly what I'm talking about, called The Pimple Popper. The Pimple Popper. Okay, so I didn't know, though, that I had been, like, out of the loop in NBA circles, that this is, like, everyone else is staying, who's in, is, like, flipping through the channels and stopping on the Pimple Popper on TLC, Sandra Lee or somebody. Like, she's, like, world famous. Like, I missed this whole thing. But I'm walking in with David Morway, our assistant GM, to the game we have it last night. I'm like, oh my gosh, I saw the weirdest show. He's like, The Pimple Popper. I'm like, yeah. Oh my, and then next thing you know, we're talking about. I sat down with a bunch of other people at dinner, and I was like, yeah, how was your New Year's dinner? Well, mine was great. I rang it in. Oh, watching The Pimple Popper? I was like, oh my gosh. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that evidently there's a show on TLC called The Pimple Popper that's like seriously part of all NBA annals, I guess. This is one of those classic podcast moments. So I do these podcasts every now and then, and I think it's really good, and I think there's some great value, and I think I've done something that matters. And then I don't really have any way to judge whether anyone got it or not. Like, you can look at Twitter mentions, but, I mean, that's a pretty unique subset of America or my listening audience. So then there's days like today where now everywhere I go, I watch The Pimple Popper. And you're like, oh, they heard that. All right, let's get into it. Jazz had a bad defensive night last night. They got beat by another unbelievable single-handed performance. Last night was our – and this has now happened to us a few times. Against Oklahoma City, our defense held up through it when Paul George went off. And against Houston, our defense held up against it when James Harden went off. But last night, the defense did not. The offense did. We had our 13th best offensive game of the year. There's actually a bunch of signs the offense is getting way better. We had our 7th best offensive game against Portland, our 21st against Oklahoma City, our 11th best against the Blazers, our 2nd best against the Knicks, and our 13th against the Raptors. And we did that well, not because we didn't turn the ball over, and we shot 9 of 32 from 3. So we did it while shooting badly. But the defense last night failed. 33rd defensive performance of the year. We've not played that many games. Worst defensive performance we've had since the Pacer game, which to me is like the pure exhaustion, you know, at Indiana. And the worst we've had since the Kings game, Worse than the Kings game. When I thought everything changed, that was my coach's interview with Quinn, was that when the Jazz played the Lakers on November 23rd is kind of when I thought everything changed for this team. They started playing better transition defense, and they allowed 15% of, oh no, that's the last night the Jazz actually offensively finally had a big fast break outing last night, which they have not had very often. They had 15% of their points in transition last night. Toronto's not a very good team at getting back and running. But last night, Kawhi Leonard was just unreal. I mean, he just makes shots and in a style with his length that nobody else, and his size that nobody else can do, and makes it impossible on Rudy. But the other one that happened last night is that we allowed 19% of all points being fast break points again. Last time we had a game of that ilk was against the Warriors. We allowed 22, but our defense was good. And as I said, you go back to that kind of turn between the Laker game and Sacramento on November 21st, and that's when we started getting back defensively. We've held virtually all of our opponents to 10% or below until last night. The Thunder game in Utah that we lost, we allowed 15%. That's a big one for us. We've got to get people defensively into the half court. Now, last night, when we got people defensively into the half court, to Kawhi Leonard's credit, he was just that great. Drove the baseline, gets underneath the basket, kind of stops, and is so long and strong that now you don't have anything you can do with the rim because the rim's blocking you. Rudy actually got his hand caught in the net on one of them, and he lays it up and in. It's pretty incredible. Last night, the Jazz were at about 20% of their possessions in transition, which is a little more than we would like. Actually, they were at 15%, which is still a little more than we would like. And they were very in transition last night. Toronto had 1.9 points per possession in transition. And that's, and evidently off live rebounds last night when getting out and running off our misses, Toronto, according to Clean the Glass, was at 2 points per possession last night. Off live rebounds, they turned into transition. So that's that last night, the defense just, Kawhi was brilliant, but we've had good defensive nights when James Harden was brilliant and when Paul George was brilliant and you're taking away other things, but they got out in transition. And it really happened at the beginning of the third quarter where they hit three threes after having two in the entire first half, where Rubio turned the ball over and let them out, get out and run. And that swung the game last night. And so the defense is Kawhi Leonard was great, and we now have three wings who've had these mammoth games, and that's where Ron and I were. As I dug into the numbers later last night, it's as much as a transition game and not stopping the initial action of the Raptors last night as it was Kawhi Leonard individual brilliance. And then that backs up a little bit when you look at the fact that in the other games in which we've had these types of individual brilliance against us, the defense has still been good. But it wasn't in transition last night. And so the Jazz fall to the Raptors. Offensively, the Jazz actually had a great game. There is something in our offense I don't love. And I alluded to it a little bit last night. Felt like it was particularly bad. The numbers backed that up. And I will dig into it. Plus, once again, I will get on my soapbox. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai. The new year is here, and Murdoch Hyundai still has amazing deals and great value. I was with my buddy driving to Solitude. He was in from Virginia. He's a huge car guy. Like, I think he's probably drives a Porsche and knows everything in and out about it. And he was in the Hyundai. He was like, wow, the size, the space, like, this is incredible. He was kind of blown away for a grown adults with all of our ski stuff heading up to Solitude in the Hyundai Santa Fe. It was just fabulous. Just had a great day, and also just the comfort of the ride. And he commented even on the ride home. He's like, all right, this is pretty solid. I had to steal my son's car. The Murdoch Hyundai is at 4646 South State Street. They're also out in Logan and in Linden. And you can stop by. If you're looking for a car, put it on your list. Just at least go to the showroom. Take a second. If you're looking at a hybrid, look at the Ioniq and see what you can get. I got a great email from a listener yesterday, who I'm sure I'll share again, who talked about buying the Kona. And now he just has a car he just dies to get into and just loves it more than anything. He's a professor over at UVU. So check it out. Go to Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street and then get the no regrets buying experience with your oil changes, safety inspections, 5-day price match guarantee. It's all a part of who the Murdochs are at 4646 South State Street. All right, I mentioned this before. I feel as though 4 years of everyone hammering on the Jazz for being too slow in pace of play has led the Jazz to increase their post pace of play, and I am not convinced it's to our advantage. Now, let me make sure we understand where this comes from, because it's not based in lies or anything. If you can use your possession, here's the league average shooting at different spots. So 18 to 22 on the shot clock. You pushed it up. You're in transition. Not even mention fouls. The average effective field goal percentage is about 59%. Okay, really, really high value possession. You go 15 to 18 on the shot clock. You're still early, and you're at 55. Okay, so 59, 55. I mean, those you do that, you're leading the league. That's the first 9 seconds of the shot clock. If you're in the middle of the shot clock, it drops down to about 52. If you go 4 to 7 on the shot clock, you get down to about 48. And then if you're in the final 4 seconds of the shot clock, you slide all the way to an effective field goal percentage of 40. So that's really the death zone. So everybody wants to stay out of the final 4 seconds of the shot clock. Everybody wants threes. The defenses have all gotten tighter. And now the way you get your threes is you run up the floor and you get up there early and you launch a quick look three. I'm wondering, and I don't know that I can totally back this up in numbers, our pace is way faster than it's ever been, okay? We're middle of the pack. We've always been one of the slowest in the league, and now we're in the middle of the pack. And our offensive points per possession is the exact same as it was a year ago. Last year at 107.9, this year at 108. Okay? Exact same. We've actually dropped because we were 16th in the league and we're now 15th. Excuse me, we're now 21st. Excuse me. We've been 15, 15, 13, 16. We're now 21st. We've always been a high turnover team. We've always been a pretty good shooting team. We've always been an average to below average offensive rebounding team. We've always gone to the line a lot. We're going to the line a lot this year. It's great. And we're an average offensive team, a little below right now. And we've picked up our tempo and playing more possessions earlier and in transition. We're playing 1.9% of our plays in 2% more in transition than we used to, according to Cleaning the Glass. What's interesting is we're terrible at it. Our half-court offense is better than it was a year ago. Our transition is last off a live rebound and is last in the NBA, and our transition overall is 27th. Now, this is where this gets a really tricky conversation. It's still better than our half-court offense. So in theory, it's still the right possession. Still the right thing to do. The question is, to me, I used to feel like a part of our essence, and maybe I made this up, was that we would get the ball in the half court, we would run you through a million picks, a million handoffs, a million pin downs, hold the ball for 17, 18 seconds, get our shot, you're beaten down, and you don't have the zest to run back against us the other way. Now, there's a chance that the game has changed and that that's not possible anymore. So I might be way off on this one. And I just thought of a way. I've done the research in a different manner. But I just thought of something that I'll look at here of whether or not are we actually running fewer picks than we did a year ago, and are we hitting people less? It would seem, if we have the ball less, that we are. So here's what's unique to us. I just ran through how the league works, right? 59-55, gets 18-22 on the shot clock. So we really pushed it up, or it's right off an offensive rebounding. Our effective field goal percentage is 56%. League average is 59. We rank 27th. We shoot 32% on threes. Between 15 and 18 on the shot clock. So this is the early surge, the early push. Rubio took one of these last night that just was beside myself. We're 53.3%, 2 percentage points worse than the league average. We're 19th in the league. We shoot 33%. This is where we're unique. The rest of the league gets less good as the possession goes on. We get between 7 and 15 on the shot clock, and we're now the fifth best team in the league, and we're at 54% effective field goal percentage, which is better than what we are between 15 and 18. Now, I don't know how you coach this. And our three-point shooting goes up to 36% from 33. 18% of our shots at that point are threes. Between 15 and 18 on the clock, we're actually not getting very many threes. Wait a sec. Something's wrong with the NBA numbers on that. Oh, no. It's overall. Yes. A third of our shots between 15 and 18 on the shot clock are threes. Of those shots we take at that point, a third of them. Between 7 and 15 on the shot clock, we're higher than that. We actually get more threes off at a higher rate later in the shot clock, between 7 and 15. Now, here's what's really wacky about us. We get to 4-7 on the shot clock, we're even better. And now we're taking about 50% of our shots as threes, a little less, making 42% of them, and our effective field goal percentage is 55%, and we're the fourth best team in the league. So if we rush up the floor 18-22, we're 56% effective field goal percentage. 15-18, we drop to 53. 7-15, we're at 54. 4-7, we actually go up to 55. The rest of the league gets worse. Now, you get to that 0-4 death zone, and we're not very good. Feels to me we're rushing into our offense, trying to play faster, and it's not as effective. I don't know if it's true, and I'm going to find out, and I think it might be hurting our defense. That's my thought. I don't know if this is true. This is totally made up. But let's go with this for a second. I just thought of the second way to figure this out. And you're going to do this with me. Last year, we ran 94 picks per 100 possessions. The next closest in the league was 84. We ran 10 more than anyone else in the NBA. We ran 35 handoffs. Oh, wait, this is... Let me check. I got to get the right seasons in here. 17-18 season. Last year we ran 31 handoffs and 94 picks. We were fourth in the league in handoffs. This year, we're running 86.5 picks, which is, if we round everything up, 94 to 87, seven fewer picks, and we're now fourth in the league. And handoffs, we're now running 35 a game, which is actually more than we ran last year. So combined, it's three a game. Probably nothing. Probably not much of anything. I may be full of it here. Our drive game, which last year got the blender going, this year we're running the most drives of any team in the league at 55 a game. So it feels as though that's still happening. Last year we ran 54. So maybe there's nothing to it, other than we're just a little bit better the longer the shot clock goes in. But it feels to me we're not wearing people down the same way. Maybe that's the league's gone to transition and you don't have a choice but to play along. In a game like last night, we thank goodness we got out in transition. We were good at it. Now, the interesting one last night, by the way, between 15 and 18, this is why I bring this up. Between 15 and 18 on shot clock last night, we shot 4 of 16. 7 to 15 on the shot clock, we shot 23 of 50 with an effective field goal percentage of 51%. Last night, between 15 and 18, we pulled up on shots early in the clock and were just terrible. Now, like, I don't like Ricky Rubio's stat line much last night, and I don't like some of the shots he took. I don't know who else is taking them right now. If he's not taking them. Like, Donovan's not particularly efficient. Joe didn't score. Joe's three-point shooting is way off right now. I think Joe's about 22% above the break here recently. Thank goodness for Jay Crowder last night. He was amazing. And Dante's been really good, which is really exciting. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. We can keep chewing on it and watching it. I'm not sure I have anything. I have a bunch of data, and I'm not sure what it tells you, if I'm really being honest about it. Today's show is brought to you in part, by the store. I don't know if I should reveal this. But my guy Ron Boone shared on Postcast that he had like six of these things, mudslide cookies, in a span of like 2 days. Okay, I can't do that. And I love the mudslide cookie. Love the mudslide cookie. I do think that the store has played a mean, awful trick on us. They've put in one of their cases, Banbury Cross Donuts and Rich's Bagels. So, like, you stare at it, and like, which of these two decisions am I going to make? Neither of which particularly good for me. Both of which are outstanding. And how do I decide? I feel like that's like a Locals Best, kind of this signature of the store. This is like them teasing us with Locals Best. Here's the best Locals Best, Rich's Bagels, Locals Best, Banbury Cross Donuts. And then you got to decide. Stores at 6200 South, 20th East. Stop by, feel that community feel. See the young high school kids helping the people out to their car with their groceries. Get that wonderful feel and vibe of being a part of the community. At 6200 South, 20th East, and they're opening one shortly in the Gateway for those of you who live downtown. It's the store, 6200 South, 20th East. Thanks so much for tuning in and for supporting our sponsor, the store. All right, I thought we value of value to just do a quick run through where everybody is in the NBA right now. Okay, efficiency differential is usually the best indicator. So if you take the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee, Indiana, Boston, then Toronto, then Charlotte, then Philadelphia. Interesting. In the West, Oklahoma City is 1, Denver's 2, Golden State is 3, San Antonio's 4, Lakers are 5, Rockets are 6, Jazz are 7, Clippers are 8, Portland is 9, Pelicans 10, Dallas 11 and negative, Memphis is 12 and negative, Minnesota's 13 and negative, and Sacramento's really negative now at 14. Let's look at the last 10 games and see how teams are playing. Give us a little bit of an idea where teams are trending. Schedule can have a larger impact on this than it probably should. The Spurs are the number one team in the NBA the last 10 games with a 14.2 differential. In the West, Houston is 3, Utah is 4. So despite being 5-5 over the last five games, a blowout of the Knicks helps. But the Dallas loss has hurt us overall. Oklahoma City is 4th. Denver is 5 and getting everyone back. Warriors are 6. Lakers are 7. Minnesota is 8 at negative 2. So some of the West teams wearing out. Portland at negative 0.6 is 7-3 over the last stretch. Phoenix, by the way, is next. Then the Clippers, Memphis, Pelicans at minus 3.2, Sacramento's 25th in the league, minus 5, Dallas, minus 5.6 in 27th. We're beginning to see some fade. In the East, Indiana's number 1, Milwaukee's number 2. Miami is 3, Philadelphia is 4, Charlotte is 5 again, Brooklyn is 6, Toronto is 7, 4 in the last night, minus 2, Atlanta is 8, Chicago's 9, Washington. Top offensive teams, San Antonio, Houston, Brooklyn, Minnesota, and the Clippers. And the Clippers' defense has been, and Boston, 6. Top defensive teams, Utah over the top 10, number 1, Indiana, Oklahoma City, Milwaukee, and San Antonio. Worth noting, Clippers defense over the last 10 games has dropped to 27th, Dallas is 26, Minnesota's 25. Pelicans are 22, Boston's 21. Offensive struggles recently. The expected group, Chicago, Orlando, Detroit, Cleveland, Memphis, Knicks, Kings, despite their pace. Toronto, who was struggling offensively before last night. Miami, Oklahoma City, then Utah's at 20th. So over the last 10 games, we're 20th offensively, number one defensively. We're playing the ninth fastest pace of play in that time period. So maybe everything I've said is totally garbage. Because we're the number one defensive team in the league over the last 10 games while playing the fastest pace we've ever played. That's the beauty of this. You try to figure out what matters and what doesn't. Take in all your data. Look at it. Try to decide. Make valued decisions and see whether you're right or not. That is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you have a wonderful day. Talk to you soon.